والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. We were discussing the subject of Imamat, and we talked about Hadith al-Dar and Hadith al-Safina and Hadith al-Manzila. Last of all that we will discuss in the under the subject of hadith is the hadith al-ghabir. Hadith al-ghabir includes the hadith al-saqalain. Hadith al-saqalain is part of the hadith al-ghabir, but separately, because when we talk about Hadith al-Ghadir, more specifically, we are talking about the famous sentence, which is فَمَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَاهُ فَهَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَاهُ فَعَلِيٌّ مَوْلَاهُ. It's narrated in both ways. So, again, this is the Hadith, which is also mutawatir. And I told you the definition of mutawatir is a Hadith which is narrated by the narrators, as many narrators or narrate the hadith, or they narrate it in a way which causes yaqeen in the qalb of the person who is dealing with the hadith. So any hadith which is narrated by so many narrators, or narrated by, even if it is narrated, not narrated by a lot of narrators, but just few, but it is narrated in a way which brings yaqeen in your qalb, that is called hadithun mutawatir. So, some of the ahadith are mutawatir lafzan, and some other ahadith are mutawatir ma'nan. That means the lafz is exactly what the Prophet said, whereas here, some of the ahadith are narrated with, not with the words of the Prophet or Ahlul Bayt, but with the meaning contained in the hadith. So the narrator mentions his own words, but he narrates the meaning of the Ma'soom alayhi salam. So Hadith al-Ghadir is mutawatir lafzan wa ma'nan. Basically, the exact words of the Prophet have been narrated. This is exactly how he had said. And it is mutawatir. It is narrated by Allama Al-Amini, who wrote the famous book Al-Ghadir, in Kitab Al-Ghadir, his book, which is in 11 volumes. He has narrated this hadith from 110 ashab. This is a very big deal. After 1400 years, approximately, you are able to find 110 Sahabi of Rasulullah narrating this hadith, despite the fact the writing of hadith was banned, hadith were burnt, the ravis were killed, But in all those turmoils, we'll still, if Allama Amini can find 110 of top, this extremely high level of research and a big deal. And he has narrated the hadith of Hadith from 360 ulama of the Muslim community. So this is something which carries a lot of hard work behind that. And likewise, if you want to turn to if you want to turn to Ayatullah al-Uzma Nasir Hussain al-Lakhnawi al-Hindi in his Abaqat al-Anwar, which is one of the mother books, he has narrated this from 200 ulama of Ahl al-Tasannuf. So we have plenty of sources from their books, and you can just turn to this book, these books, and find all the sources if you want. But basically, this is not something which is denied. Hadith al-Thaqalain, he narrated from 200 Sunni sources, actually. And like I said, which is part of the khutbah of Hadith. So the narration is like this. Prophet was returning back from the final Hajj, Hajjatul Wida, and between Makkah and Medina, this is the place where he reached, which is called Ghadir. Ghadir is the name of the place where he reached, and that's where the different parts of the people were getting separated, going to different directions, turning back to their homes. And it was a steep place, So that's where the Prophet basically asked all those people who had went ahead to be brought back, and all those people who are coming behind should be waited for, so that everybody reaches the place. And this is a desert, and the Prophet is doing all that because this verse of Holy Quran is revealed upon him, Ya Ayyuhar Rasulu. بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. All the messengers inform or convey what is revealed towards you from your Lord. So basically, it's the message from Allah. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. And if you don't do that, in other words, you didn't do his risalat. The whole message and risalat of Rasulullah is at stake. If he does not announce the walayat of the wali after him. So Prophet gathered all the people. The histories inform us there were 120,000 ashab, men and women all together. And he started to say his khutbah, which is the khutbah of Ghadir, is the longest of all the sermons of his life in the burning sands in the desert, and where he had, after the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that soon I will be, which I am paraphrasing in my words, the long khutbah and some of its contents, that soon I will be called. That means Allah will invite me. He's talking about his death, and I will respond. Wa inni mas'oolun, wa antum mas'oolun. So I am held accountable, and you are held accountable. That's the mazmoon riwayah. So basically, people, and then he said, how do you bear witness about me? And people said, إِنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ وَنْصَحْتَ وَجَاهَدْتَ فَجَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. You did your tabligh and nasihat and jihad, and may Allah and efforts, and may Allah give you the best of the reward. So then the Holy Prophet mentions the Hadith al-Saqalain, comes ahead before the mention of the famous sentence of Hadith al-Ghadir, إِنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمْ وَالْثَقَلَيْنَ, I'm leaving behind, leaving among you two valuable things, two weighty things, كِتَابَ اللَّهُ وَعِثَرْتِي أَهْلَ بَيْتِي. And then after that, Imam Malik says that Prophet repeated the sentence, أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهَ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي, I remind you about my Ahlul Bayt. Three times. I remind you about my Ahlul Bayt. This sentence was repeated three times. According to Imam Malik. And after the mention of Hadith al-Saqalain, then Prophet went moved forward and said, أَيُّهَ النَّاسْ مَنْ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. مَنْ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ Who has more tasallut and right and walayat over mu'mineen than the mu'mineen have over themselves? And people said, Allah wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger knows best. So Prophet said, in Allaha mawlaya, Allah is my mawla. Wa ana مولى المؤمنين and I am the مولى of the مؤمنين of the believers وأنا أولى بهم من أنفسهم and I have more right over them more right over them, over the mu'mineen, than they have over themselves. Actually, this is exactly the description of the word mawla. The beginning sentences are describing the meaning of the word mawla, which is going to say. So all the controversy between the Muslims where the word mawla has 16 meanings in Arabic, and all that controversy becomes useless if they just turn to the same muqaddimah, the same initial sentences, walaikum salam, the Prophet is mentioning right there before coming to the point. He is himself mentioning this point, in Allaha mawlaya, so man awla bin nas. Exactly, the meaning of the word mawla is awla. That's nothing but the meaning. Awla means awla bit tasarruf, having more control over you, more walayat and tasallut over you than you have over your own self. That's exactly what the meaning of mawla is in the hadith. So mawla means awla. So Prophet is asking, who is awla? So that's exactly the meaning of mawla. Who is awla with the over the mu'mineen? Who has more right and control over the mu'mins than the mu'mins have over themselves? And they said, God, Allah and His Messenger knows best. So Prophet said, Allah is my mawla. So Allah is my mawla, what does it mean? That means Allah has awla over me. Isn't that right? Allah has more control and walayat and tasallut over me than I have over my own self. That's exactly what the meaning of mawla is. Allah is awla over me. Wa ana mawla al-mu'mineen. And I am awla over all the mu'mineen, that I have more control over the mu'mineen than mu'mineen have over their own selves. Wa ana awla. See, again, he explains it. He's explaining the same sentence in a different word. Wa ana awla bihim min anfusihim, from their own selves. And then he comes to the point that faman kuntum awlahu. Whoever takes me as his Mawla, whoever I am his Mawla. Now we have different narrations. Some say Fahada Aliyun Mawla, some say Fa Aliyun Mawla. Fahada Aliyun Mawla. So this is about the sentence.
Maulana, some of you Sunnis say, okay, he didn't mean it in that emphasis. Okay, and وَأَنَا أَوْلَى بِهَمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ, take that doubt out of the question.
I can't understand your point.
Because I followed to some
Sunnis. If you allow me, I can take the question after. If you allow me to, after the whole thing, inshallah. Thank you. So, فَمَنْ كُنْتَ مَوْلَاهُ فَهَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَاهُ. Now, so whoever is Mawla I am, then I am the Mawla for whomsoever, this Ali is his Mawla. Now, obviously the word of Mawla is already described by Rasulullah here. That's the description of the word Mawla in his own hadith. And this proves the same rights that Imam Ali alayhi salam has. And not just that, but actually in the narration it says Prophet looked around him, and as soon as his eyes caught Imam Ali alayhi salam vision, he grabbed the hand of Imam Ali and raised his hand. Hatta, the riwayat says, Hatta ru'ya. Bayadu a'batihima. Till the whiteness of their armpits were visible. So people were seeing their hands. And and not just that, in the narration it says that Prophet asked the people, Ala tasma'un, are you not hearing? So nobody can say, well, I couldn't hear the voice, his voice was not audible, I could not hear him, I was standing far away. That was not the case, because people were asked by himself, and they replied. And So now the point is very clear that Imam Ali alayhi salam is Mawla towards the Mu'mineen in the same meaning in which the Prophet is Mawla. And Prophet is Mawla in the meaning in which he himself describes. Nana Awla. He didn't say I am the friend or the Halif or the Mu'taq and all those other meanings that we discussed in the previous class when we were talking about that. So the meaning is basically Awla. Also, it is important to mention the point that this Fa is very important, because there may be people who can say that, well, we also accept Imam Ali alayhi salam, but he will accept him as our fourth Khalif and fourth Imam. Isn't it right? So this is not what you learn from this, from the Hadith al-Ghadir. From the Hadith al-Ghadir, when Prophet has said, فَمَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَاهُ فَهَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَاهُ. So in Arabic grammar, we have the word fa, which is used for the sake of al-fa'u al-tatib. Ibn Malik says in his book, al-fa'u al-tatib. الفاضي ثم للترتيب الانفصالي. So we have two words used which inform us about the sequence. When you are talking about two things happening in a sequential order, in Arabic we use two words, either fa or thumma. And the difference between fa and thumma is that both are for the sake of tartib. They inform us about the sequence. But the fa is mentioned in the case where between A and B there is a connection. So connection means there is no gap. So there is an ittisal, means connection, which means there is no gap. If B is coming soon after A without any gap, that's where you use the word fa in Arabic. And if there is a gap between A and B, you use the word thumma. So B is coming after A, so there is a sequence, but in addition to the matter of to the sequence, there is also infisal. There is a gap between the two things. So that's the difference between fa and thumma in Arabic grammar. So now Prophet didn't say here, and فَمَنْ كُنْتُ مَوْلَاهُ ثُمَّ هَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَاهُ. Right? If Prophet had said ثُمَّ هَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَاهُ, it would be, there is a room for somebody to say, well, we also accept Imam Ali as our fourth Khalifa, because Prophet is talking about ثُمَّ, and ثُمَّ is for tartib with infisal and gap. But Prophet didn't use the word thumma, he used the word fa. And which means that in the tartib there is no gap, it's ittisal. So Imam Ali alayhi salam has the walayat, he's the wali. You know, soon after him, he's the wali. And then after mentioning this, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't end the thing here. He prayed to Allah that Allahumma wali man walahu. I'm not going to write, it may take a longer time. So, O my Lord, love the one who loves him, and take the person who takes him as enemy, you take him as your enemy, and love the one who loves him, and hate the person who hates him, وَانْصُرْ مَنْ نَصَرَهُ, and help the one who helps him, وَخْذُلْ مَنْ خَذَلَهُ, and مَخْذُول, deceive the one who deceives Imam Ali alayhi salam, وَأَدِرِ الْحَقَّ مَعَهُ حَيْثُ دَعْ, and you rotate the haq with him where he goes. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, so haq is going to go where Imam Ali alayhi salam is going. So after all that happened, and the Prophet at the end he says fal yuballigh, fal yuballigh al shahid al ghaib. This signifies our responsibility as well. Right, Prophet says that the one who is present and witnessing this, the shahid and witness, should inform the one who is not present here. Right. Everybody who witnesses this event, it's compulsory on him or her to inform those who are not present. And even us who learn about this thing, you know, we learn it, we need to inform it to others, isn't that right? Well, this is a global message, it's a universal message, because the walayat of Imam Ali Islam is universal. So after all this happened, that's where Jibreel brought this verse of Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Mati. ورضيت لكم today I completed for you your religion and perfected for you upon you my ni'mat and became pleased for you for you know Islam to be a religion. So Islam is the pleased religion. So Islam with the walayat of, let me say like this, Islam plus the walayat of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam is the religion of Allah. And Islam minus the walayat of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam is not the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not the religion that Allah likes. The religion that Allah likes and considers to be complete and perfect for us is the Islam with the walayat, Islam with the political system. Walayat means government, isn't it right? The whole governmental system of rule. So it's the political Islam. Let me put it in these words. The political Islam is the kuffar are and munafiqeen are basically battling against is the political Islam. The Islam, the political Islam which includes the walayat and the government system of Imam Ali alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which cannot stand any kind of zulm and oppression and injustice and racism. So we find when this verse was revealed, Prophet said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar ala ikmal al-deen wa itmam al-ni'mah wa rida rabbi risalati, and you know, he said Allahu Akbar two times on the completion of the religion and the perfection of the ni'mat and the pleasure of the Lord towards his risalat and towards wal walayatu li Ali min ba'di and for the walayat towards Imam Ali alayhi salam after me. And now the people started to do the tabriq, the congratulations. Ashab came in front of Rasulullah congratulating Imam Ali alayhi salam. In the beginning were the same Shaykhan, Abu Bakr and Umar were the first who came and congratulated Imam Ali alayhi salam. Bakhin bakhin laka yabna bi talib asbahta wa amsayta maulaya wa maula kulli mu'minin wa mu'mina, and you became my maula and the maula of every mu'min man and woman. Prophet didn't just leave it there, but actually he look at the arrangements of Rasulullah. He's asking every single person to now come and do the bay'at of Amir al-Mu'minin. So all those ashab who were present at that occasion without exception came to Rasulullah and they did the bay'at towards Imam Ali alayhi salam, except the guy Haris ibn al-Nu'man rahmatullahi alayhi, who was the only person who not only didn't do the bay'at of Imam Ali, but actually complained against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that did you appoint him from your own behalf or on behalf of Allah? We accepted so many things because you asked us to do, but now that you are leaving this world, you are appointing your son-in-law, your, you know, your cousin as your the ruler upon us after you. Is it from yourself or is it from Allah? And if it is from Allah, you know, I pray to Allah to send his azab on me. And that's where we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did send his azab, and the stone came and he entered into his body from the head, striking from the head, and comes out from the bottom, and the guy gets killed then and there. So that's what we see, the status of the munkir and denial of the walayat which is actually equal to the denial and inkar of risalat and tawheed, and we find that the person is punished straight away and he went to hell by the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith, in addition to 110 ashab, is narrated by 84 of the tabi'een as well. Tabi'een are those who were not present in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they were present after the generation of ashab. So 110 ashab, 84 tabi'een, and 360 scholars of Islam are narrating this hadith. And so this is about the last hadith in this series that we had to discuss, Hadith al-Ghafir. And people did remember the hadith. It's just about the love of dunya that came in the, you know, because this is this Muhaddis Alusi, one of the Sunni scholars, Muhaddis al-Alusi. He says that how can that be, that Prophet announces something in front of 120,000 or so ashab and everybody forgets the hadith? How can this be? This is not acceptable. At least some people would have remembered that Prophet had said that. So he's the only person among the mu'arrikhin and muhaddithin who denies the hadith. So nobody else denies it. They say the meaning of the word mawla is different, the friendship. Prophet is talking about the French, but they don't deny the authenticity of the hadith, except Muhaddis al-Alusi. But obviously we say to him that it's not about the people forgetting. The people didn't forget, they obviously they remember, but it's about what Imam Ali alayhi salam says in khutbah al-Shikshikiyya, khutbah number 3 of Nahj al-Balagha, that haliyat al-dunya في أعينهم وراقهم زبرجها. And they got under the glitter of its glamour. So basically it's the love of dunya. Dunya was sweet in their eyes. Because of the dunya, people betrayed and you know, supported the, obviously it's because of the dunya, they supported the walayat of the taghuts and did the khiyanat towards the earlier bay'at that they already did in the presence of Rasulullah. They did the bay'at and oath of allegiance towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, we move forward to the next step of the discussion, which is the sifatul imam. We still have like 15 minutes remaining. We have in our Ilmul Kalam, it is compulsory that every Imam alayhi salam has to fulfill, has to have certain sifat in him, and those sifat must be found in every Imam. The first sifat is yajib an yakun al Imam mansusan alayh. We believe that it is compulsory for the Imam after the Prophet to be mansusun alayh. Mansus means there has to be a nas, a clear statement from the Prophet in his favor. Isn't it right? So if the Imam is not mansus, he cannot be the Imam. Ismat, the infallibility, ismat is actually among the batini things. It's an amrun batini. It's something which is inside and hidden. It's not something this is visible. You cannot see the ismat of a masoom or nabi or imam visible on his body. Isn't it right? It's found in his soul. There's the noor which is found in his soul. We don't see the souls. We don't see the noor. We don't see the ismat. So this is not a visible thing. So we believe that it is compulsory for the imam to be either introduced by the previous ma'soom, whether it's a prophet or a previous imam. He has to be either introduced by the previous ma'soom, because the ma'soom can see the ismat of the other ma'soom. We cannot see the ismat. Or second of all, imam has to show, or if you want you can make it two separate ones, either by the prophet, this is one, or the previous imam, that's two, and we can call it number three, you know, or the imam has to be, and number third of all is he has to, obviously, it is proven by his mu'jiza and the miracles that he displays. So these are the three ways for the introduction of an imam. Imam has to be either introduced by the previous prophet, or the previous imam, or through a mu'jiza. That's how his introduction takes place. So, because ismat cannot be seen or witnessed by us, because the ismat is compulsory for everyone. We'll come to the ismat as well. I think probably the next condition is ismat, which we will talk about that in a little bit elaborate way, with all those six or seven or so evidences about why we believe in the ismat of the imam. Inshallah, we'll discuss that. That's because the imam is ma'soom, so, and ismat is not a visible thing for us, so we believe that the imam has to be introduced by the previous ma'soom. According to the Holy Quran, it is compulsory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has said that inni ja'aluka lin-nasi imaman. So it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to install a person as the imam. It's not in the hands of the people to install anyone in the place. So when it comes to Imam Ali alayhi salam, obviously we have all the nas from Rasulullah. We discussed already some of the most famous ahadith, apart from the long list of other ahadith. This one is specifically mentioned in Sahih Muslim, which I would like to mention here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, according to Sahih Muslim, La yazalu dino. We just discussed that there has to be a nas and clear verdict, clear statement from the Holy Prophet for the upcoming imam. La yazalu dinu qa'iman. And we are done with all those hadith, hadith al-dar, hadith al-safina, hadith manzila and all that, which are so clear in Hadith al-Ghadir and Hadith al-Thaqalain. So in addition to all that, la yazalu dinu qa'iman, حتى تقوم الساعة. أو يكون the religion will continue to be stand up straight till the day of judgment happens, the time arrives. We're talking about the day of judgment. أو احتمالا أو يكون أو يكون عليكم اثنتا عشرة خليفة. Or there will be upon you 12 khalifa, kulluhum min Quraysh. This is from Sahih Muslim. Volume number 3 and page 1453. Apart from this, also mentioned Sahih Tirmizi and Sahih Sunan Abi Dawood. So, but the most famous reference is Sahih Muslim. So basically, 12 Khalifa are clearly mentioned in the Hadith of Rasulullah, which are obviously, we don't have any 12 rulers in the entire Islamic history. Neither Banu Umayyah were 12, nor Banu Abbas were 12, nor any other dynasties, after them were 12 in number. So, this is one side of the coin. Now, going to the other side, لا يزال الدين قائما, the religion will continue to stand up straight until the day of judgment. أو يكون عليكم, or until the time, in other words, until the time when there will be 12 rulers, 12 khalifa upon you, and all of them are from Quraysh, the tribe of Quraysh. So basically 12 imams and khalifas from the tribe of Quraysh. Now, this is one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is the fact that if anybody else was mansus, if there was a nas and clear statement of the Prophet about anyone else, we would certainly find people claiming it. Isn't that right? Whereas on the other side, you find people are saying, Prophet didn't appoint anybody. He left up to us to decide. Isn't that right? So look at the contrast. So they are clearly, first of all, the people are accepting, they say, they claim that Prophet did not appoint. They left it up to us. Which makes it very clear that there is no nas. There is no nas. That means clear statement. There is no clear statement. There is actually no statement, clear or unclear. There is no statement about anybody else. If there was a clear statement from the Holy Prophet about anybody else, they would have claimed it. Whereas they are saying, Prophet didn't appoint anybody. Isn't that right? He left up to us. And not only that, but we find that Hazrat Abu Bakr was actually in shock and doubt. So he said, Ya Laytani, that's the statement of Abu Bakr before his death. Ya Laytani, I wish, Kuntu Sa'altu Rasulullah, I had asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, halil ansari, fi hadha al-amr, haqqun am la. I wish I had asked the Prophet, is there any right for the helpers, the Ansar, the people of Medina who helped the migrants of Makkah? Do the Ansar have any share, any right in the matter of Khilafat, or they don't have any right about that? I wish I had asked Rasulullah. So this statement itself is making clear that, you know, nobody else is claiming a Nas in their favor, isn't that right? And this is second of all. And third of all, if there was a Nas available about someone else other than Imam Ali alayhi salam, Prophet would never have asked those people for Khuruj, for leaving the city of Medina, isn't that right? Whereas Prophet had asked everyone to go out of the city of Medina and join the army of Osama bin Zayd. Isn't that right? And Prophet said in his famous hadith that La'anallahu man takhallafa an jayshi Osama. It means that whoever turns away from the army of Osama bin Zayd, may Allah's la'nat be on him. So Prophet is asking all these people in Medina, his capital, to go away and leave the city of Medina and join the army of Osama bin Zayd. So the khuruj from Medina is a compulsory obligation of all the people in the, and this is acting in the final moments of the life of the Prophet. Isn't it right? He's about to die. So if there is a nas for somebody to be the leader after the Prophet and he's just dying, so he's not going to ask, you know, anyone who is asking, all those whom he's asking to leave the city, he's not going to ask them to leave, he's going to ask them to stay so that they can take the charge of the government. Yeah, except Imam Ali, obviously Imam Ali was not asked to leave. So anyone who denies, anyone who didn't obey the amr, the command of the Prophet for khuruj, for leaving the city of Medina, will fall in this hadith category where Prophet himself is saying La'anallah man takhallafa. So anybody who turns away, Allah's la'nat be on him. So anybody who turns away, that means did not leave according to the command of Rasulullah, did not leave the city of Medina and did not join the army of Osama bin Zayd, that every person is mal'oon and cursed in the eyes of Rasulullah and obviously in the eyes of Allah as well. And everyone who is mal'oon and also a zalim, doing zulm. So a mal'oon and zalim can never be accepted to be the khalifa and ruler of Muslimin. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
So now we will come in the next class. We will talk about the remainder of the sifat of the Masum alayhi.